I believe that saying and continually repeating no one knows what OT is does kind of foster this sense of both a negative mindset as well as a victim mindset, right? It makes us feel like we're helpless, that we can't do anything about it. Saying no one knows what OT is definitely comes with an implication of it'll never change. That this is how it is, this is the world we live in, we should just accept it because nothing I do or say will make a difference. And that is exactly the opposite of the message that we want to be sending, not only to ourselves, but to the community, to students, to our profession. And so it's so disheartening when we're in a presentation, right? We're at Inspire, we're at a state association, and someone brings up the need to advocate for OT, and someone else says, well, no one knows what OT is, right? That immediately shuts down the conversation and implies that no matter what you do or say, no one will still know what OT is. And I think that's problematic.
Hi, I'm Clarice Grody, and welcome to the Amplify OT podcast. I'm an occupational therapist by trade and a policy wonk by choice. This podcast is here to help you survive and thrive in the U.S. healthcare system through a better understanding of policy, advocacy, and value-based care. So, let's dive in.
Hey, OT Amplifiers, welcome back to the Amplify OT podcast. Today, we are diving into a topic that is one of my latest soapboxes, and I want to go ahead and preface this by saying that I know that this podcast is probably going to be a bit divisive, that you might have some opinions and feelings about what I say in this podcast, and I want you to know that's okay, and in fact, I want you to share those feelings and opinions and your perspectives. So we will be having a discussion on this in the Amplify OT membership, which, a little side note, I am planning to rename the Amplify OT membership to the OT Amplifiers Collective. The Amplify OT membership launched in January of 23, so we're now about a year and a half old, and it has really evolved into much more of a community, a network, really a community dedicated to learning and problem solving. And so I feel like calling it the OT Amplifiers Collective and naming it that way, I'm also going to be renaming some of the membership tiers, is going to better capture what we're all about. So I've got more information on that in the show notes. I've got a link in the show notes. So we'll be having this discussion in the OT Amplifiers break room, which is where you can have all these sorts of general discussions and you can actually access those discussions with a free membership. So there is a free membership tier and you gain access to that discussion board. What we're talking about today, it's why I want you to stop saying no one knows what OT is. I guarantee that you have said this. I know that I have said it. We've all said it. We heard it. We hear it 1,000 times. No one knows what OT is. No one knows what OT is. This is going to be my pitch to you, is that we should stop saying it because I think it's detrimental to our profession. It harms our perspective, even of ourselves. Frankly, it's an excuse. And I don't think it moves the profession forward. And so anytime we hear that OT is misunderstood, the first thing I hear out of someone's mouth is, well, no one knows what OT is, right? And that kind of shuts down the conversation. And so we're going to get into the nuances of these a little bit, but that is our topic for today. That is my latest soapbox of why I think we should stop saying no one knows what OT is and why I think if we keep saying it, it will only make the problem worse. First things first, I want to go ahead and acknowledge that the reason we say no one knows what OT is because there is a legitimate problem in terms of lack of awareness of what occupational therapy is, the types of services we provide, our scope of practice, our expertise, all sorts of things. There is a legitimate concern and issue around the fact that people don't fully understand OT and that we aren't as well known or acknowledged in kind of the public sphere. And we internalize this, right? We hear that on a TV show, they only mention physical therapy. Or we hear on a TV show that mention that they had therapy, but they never talk about OT. Or if someone has OT, they only have like hand therapy, right? Oh, the dreaded misconception that OT only does upper extremity. Gosh. And we also know that patients, right, tend to call us physical therapists or nurses, right? Occupational therapy is not what comes to mind for most people when they think of a healthcare worker. So saying that no one knows what OT is does reflect like a real challenge that faces our community, right? But I don't think it actually moves the profession forward. I don't think it's serving us. And I think there's a lot of other things that we can say instead. And honestly, I believe that saying no one knows what OT is an excuse. And here's why. I believe that saying and continually repeating no one knows what OT is does kind of foster this sense of both a negative mindset as well as a victim mindset, right? That it makes us feel like we're helpless, that we can't do anything about it. Saying no one knows what OT is definitely comes with a implication of it'll never change. That this is how it is. This is the world we live in. We should just accept it because nothing I do or say will make a difference. And that is exactly the opposite of the message that we want to be sending, not only to ourselves, but to the community, to students, to our profession. And so it's so disheartening when we're in a presentation, right? We're at Inspire, we're at a state association, and someone brings up the need to advocate for OT, and someone else says, well, no one knows what OT is, right? That immediately shuts down the conversation and implies that no matter what you do or say, no one will still know what OT is. And I think that's problematic. Another thing it does is it makes it sound like this problem is unique to us and that it doesn't allow us to take ownership over our responsibility to educate others on occupational therapy and to advocate for occupational therapy. There are so many different kinds of healthcare workers. And just in general, there are so many different jobs out there. None of us know or understand all the different jobs, when to refer to someone, all the different scopes of practice and knowledge bases and training, right? Like that is completely unreasonable to expect every single person to know as much as you do about your specific area of expertise. I mean, let's be honest here, right? Like when you started OT school or OTA school, did you really know what OT was? Like, could you have provided a very good description of it? And let's also be honest here, if you're experienced, can you still provide a very good description at the drop of a hat of what OT is? And the answer is probably no. Like, we are uniquely positioned in the fact that our scope of practice is so broad and what we do is so far-reaching that we are inherently hard to describe. But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. And that's what we're going to talk about towards the end of this episode is ways to make it easier to communicate what OT is, because I think we get caught up in our heads, we get caught up in jargon. But either way, we will definitely address that at the end, because you know here at the Amplify OT podcast, we're not just about providing you information, but also actionable takeaways. So to drive this point home just a little bit further, I'm going to go ahead and say that we're not special, right? We are not unique in that people do not understand what we do, even in the healthcare field. An example I give a lot is that my husband is a software engineer. I've got no idea what he does besides coding, that he fixes things on the computer. I cannot tell you all the intricacies of what he knows, what he does, even when his company should send something to him to do, right? I have got no clue because I'm not a software engineer. Occupational therapy is not unique. We are not a special flower that no one understands. This is common, and I think we need to understand that and normalize that in our minds. And also understand that we can do something about it. This is not something that is happening to us. People are not purposefully not making themselves aware of OT, but also it is not their responsibility to know and understand everything about occupational therapy. I mean, come on, we hate when other physicians or physical therapists or whoever is like, oh, well, here's what OT is, and this is what they do, and you can't do this because it's not within your scope of practice, right? That's like 90% of what the complaints are on social media and Reddit, is that people trying to restrict our scope of practice because they don't know what it is. So why then do we then turn around and say, oh, well, no one knows what OT is, and that just puts the onus on someone else to learn what OT is and then therefore be able to define it? instead of accepting the responsibility ourselves on our role in educating others on the role of OT and our scope of practice and what we do. We can't have these two duplicities, that it's not our fault that no one knows what OT is, and it's their responsibility to educate themselves on OT, while also not wanting other professions to define what OT is. We can't have those two things exist. So you need to pick one. For the majority of us, we base our understandings on our own life experiences. And so if you haven't had a life experience with an occupational therapy practitioner, then you probably aren't going to understand OT. Or if you have had an experience with OT, you most likely aren't going to understand all the other aspects of occupational therapy. You're only going to know that one experience that you had. So that's why especially seems to be always so common whenever I meet with legislators that I ask them, you know, are you familiar with occupational therapy? And as a side note, I always phrase the question that way, or what has your experience been with OT, instead of asking them, do you know what OT is? It's just a less aggressive question and it opens up conversation. So I ask them, you know, are you familiar with what OT is? And like 99% of the time, I will get some sort of response related to like an ACL tear in college or in high school. Or they've said, oh, my grandmother received it. And we talk about, yeah, you know, that's a role of OT. You know, we work in these settings. However, we also work in all these other amazing settings. People are speaking from their own experiences as to what they have seen from OT, which again is why being a good OT or OTA is advocating for OT, right? Because if you provide a bad experience, they are not going to like OT. They're not going to be an advocate for OT. So we want to always provide a positive experience because you never know who you're working with and who they're connected to. So that's a little side soapbox to this larger one.
Are you ready to take your occupational therapy practice to the next level? Then look no further than the Amplify OT membership. You heard that right. Amplify OT has its very own membership program. This membership is designed to help occupational therapy practitioners just like you stay informed about the latest developments in Medicare and advocacy. You will have exclusive access to resources, webinars, the Mastering OT Policy and Medicare course, Q&A sessions, plus the ability to DM me your questions and get answers fast. But of course, that is not all. As a member, you'll be part of a community of like-minded occupational therapy practitioners who share their expertise and offer support. So, by joining the Amplify OT membership, you'll be able to stay up to date on the latest Medicare regulations and guidelines, learn how to advocate for your patients and your profession, connect with other OT practitioners and students to share your knowledge, and you'll have access to those exclusive resources and webinars so you can reach your full potential as an OT provider. So don't miss out on this opportunity to take your practice to the next level. Sign up for the Amplify OT membership today by going to the link in the show notes or amplifyot.com/membership. Don't forget to stay informed and be the change that you want to see in our healthcare system. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by MedBridge, your go-to resource for advancing your occupational therapy career and, of course, getting those necessary CEUs. If you are passionate about staying at the forefront of our field and enhancing your skills, MedBridge is a comprehensive solution. With a MedBridge subscription, you gain access to an extensive library of high-quality live and recorded courses led by industry experts. So stay up to date with the latest advancements in occupational therapy, explore evidence-based practice, and enhance your clinical skills. One reason that I really like and recommend MedBridge is because they have both intervention-based courses and policy and reimbursement-based courses, and that is a rare find in a CEU company. But here's the best part for our OT Amplifiers community. If you use the promo code AMPLIFYOT at checkout, you'll unlock an exclusive 40% discount on your MedBridge subscription. Yes, you heard that right, 40% off with the code AMPLIFYOT, that's AMPLIFYOT. This is a fantastic opportunity to save some money, elevate your practice, and support Amplify OT. So don't miss out on this chance to supercharge your professional development. And head over to MedBridge.com, use the promo code AMPLIFYOT, and enjoy the benefits of MedBridge while also supporting AMPLIFYOT and all the free resources that we produce here, like this podcast.
So again, head to medbridge.com, use the code AmplifyOT at checkout, and we also have the link for you in the show notes. So what should we do instead? What's the solution here? Frankly, I think we need to take ownership. We need to take ownership of the fact that historically, occupational therapy practitioners have not done a great job advocating for themselves. There are a million and one reasons that we could use to say or guess why this is. Does it have anything to do with the general personality of people who tend to become occupational therapy practitioners? Does it have to do with the fact that our profession is 85% or so female in the United States? And how does the socialization of women impact our ability or our willingness to advocate and speak up, right? There are legitimate societal barriers that impact our profession, so we can't ignore that. However, those tend to be at times outside our locus of control, right? So we want to focus on what is within our own center or locus of control. And you do have control over many of these things. And one of those is taking ownership of the responsibility to proactively educate others on occupational therapy, on what we do, and the value of what we do. So every time you say, well, no one knows what OT is, it only reinforces in your mind that there's nothing you can do about it, that you should just give up because nothing will change. And I think that's, frankly, I know it's wrong. I know that that is factually wrong, that nothing can change, because that's the whole reason of why I do what I do, why I keep going, why I love occupational therapy, why I advocate, is because change is possible, but it's not possible without participation from people like you. And we need you. We need you to amplify occupational therapy. Here's what I'm going to recommend. First and foremost, we've already said this, take ownership. Shift that mindset from this passive, things are happening to me mindset to an active stance that empowers you to take responsibility for educating others on the value of OT. And if you don't feel confident with that, that's why we have this podcast. That's why we have Amplify OT. That's why we have a national association, state associations. Get a mentor. Do what you need to do to empower yourself to do these actions, to educate others. Secondly, you can seek out and seize opportunities to educate others on what OT is. And this looks like creating opportunities. If you've listened to the podcast or to the Mastering OT Policy course, you've probably heard me say this before. There are more opportunities out there for occupational therapy than we realize. And if you understand policy, our healthcare system, you will learn how to use these policies and opportunities in your favor instead of working against you. You have power. You have control over what you do. And there are hundreds of examples of occupational therapy practitioners, OTs and OTAs, who have created entire departments because they saw an opportunity and they took advantage of it. And they educated others about the role of OT and why OT is beneficial, why we're cost effective, and created not only a job for themselves, but jobs for others within our community. So when we hear about an opportunity, things like the GUIDE model, which is a dementia care model, there's new capitated payment models coming out for primary care. Instead of throwing up our hands and saying, well, no one knows what OT is, so why would I bother talking to that physician? Doing that only looks at the barriers to a potential goal, right? The goal being that maybe you get OT involved in that primary care space. And maybe OT looks different from how you normally think about OT, and that might make you a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. But you have to take that chance. Don't look only at the barriers and say, well, I guess that's just how it is. Look for the facilitators. Use those skills that you have in clinical analysis, in task analysis, to identify where there are barriers and acknowledge them, but also how to overcome those barriers, and where there are facilitators that you can maximize to create the ideal outcome that you're looking for. And that is advocacy. Trying to convince someone to believe what you believe is advocacy. Identifying barriers and facilitators is a step of advocacy. Identifying how you get around those barriers and how you enhance those facilitators is advocacy. So hopefully by this point, I've maybe convinced you to start reconsidering and stopping yourself from the habit of saying no one knows what OT is. Because first of all, I mean, if we ignore completely the rest of the argument, it's just frankly false, right? Like, no one knows what OT is. Well, that's not true. You're usually in a whole room of people who know what OT is when you say that statement. So first of all, it's a lie to yourself. But second of all, I want you instead to change that phrase, no one knows what OT is, to instead, they don't understand OT right now, or they don't know what OT is right now. And just adding right now to that phrase gives you power. It gives you ownership over the ability to do something about it. It implies that change can happen. It's a qualifier on the statement. And that's how it is, right? When I walk into a patient's room to provide them with OT services, 9 times out of 10, they do not understand what OT is, but it's only right now, right? Because I am about to take action when I step into that room and say, hi, I'm Clarice, I'm your occupational therapist, and here's what I do. So they didn't know what OT was potentially before I walked into that room, but you know what they do know? They know it now because I taught them, because I took ownership over my responsibility to educate them on OT. And here's the other thing I want you to do. I want you to take the pressure off of yourself to be able to succinctly and comprehensively explain the entire realm of occupational therapy. It's not realistic and it's not effective. This is where we take steps to improve our communication. And you have to do that by considering the goals and the interests of the person you are talking to. And you have to use language that is familiar to them. There is a lot of jargon in OT. There was a situation once where I was talking with another occupational therapist, and they said the term occupations so many times that I even lost focus of what the heck occupation meant. And I'm an OT. So if there's anyone who should understand what occupation means, it's probably someone who's an occupational therapist, right? It's like in the name. But you know who doesn't know what occupation means? Like most of the public. And honestly, too, many people within our own profession, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what exactly the term occupation means. And to be fair, it's extremely broad. Now, we've all heard the joke before, right? Oh, well, I don't need a job, right? Yeah, everyone thinks they're hilarious every time they say that. It's not. So if you're listening to this and you're not an OT, don't make the joke. We don't find it funny. But it's okay to explain why we're occupational therapists, and this comes in understanding what OT is in our history, and talk about how the roots of OT actually were in performing tasks, and that at the time, occupation was generally kind of used to refer to tasks that you did every day, but also that occupational therapy was established really in helping people return to careers or return to what they do, especially if you look at like around the World War II era. So it's okay to explain that history to someone. The other thing that you can do is take the easy way out and say, well, your job is to be you and I'm here to help you do that. And you know what? That sentence right there sums up pretty well what occupational therapy is we help people do the job of living their lives, of being themselves. So remove the pressure on yourself to have like this perfectly stated elevator pitch, because the 90-year-old in front of you does not care that OT also works in schools, right? Nor does the physician who's working in a geriatric hospital. So you don't need to include that in your pitch or your elevator speech about what OT is. You need to understand what the goals are of that provider. This was even brought up in AOTA's Momentum Summit, which was in person last October, and I guess we'll see if they host it again. If they do, I encourage you to attend. But there was a physician, and a physician was talking about how it would be helpful if occupational therapy practitioners would frame their services in terms of diagnosis. And someone, you know, countered back and said, well, we prefer to think on function and activities of daily living. You know, we don't necessarily focus exclusively on the diagnosis when considering if someone needs OT services. We don't speak in that language. But who does, and the physician pointed this out, is that physicians speak in the language of diagnoses. So if you want the physician to understand what it is that you do and why what you do is important, you have to speak their language. I could talk about this topic for, frankly, a long time. I'm never short on words. I've never been accused of that. But I know that you're probably tired of hearing me talk about it. So let's go ahead and summarize kind of what I want you to take away from this episode, from this podcast, from this discussion, and I want it to be a discussion. First and foremost, I want you to stop saying no one knows what OT is. Whenever you start to feel it come out of your mouth, I want you to just swallow it down. And instead, I want you to either say something like, oh, that's an opportunity to educate someone on what OT is, or I want you to do the right now method, right? They don't know what OT is right now, but they could, right? I want you to change whatever phrase it is that you are going to say to something that is more positive, implies that change can happen, and that allows you to take ownership over an action. We do not have control largely over what other people do or do not know, right? Like, I can't control their brain and what they're interested in learning about. But what I can control is how I interact with that person and what I decide to do about it when a lack of knowledge and awareness is made apparent. Second, I want you to use those OT skills to complete a task analysis of a situation and develop a solution-oriented approach. I don't want you making the barriers and facilitators list and you're only writing down all the reasons why something will never happen. Number three, I want you to practice. With anything, it takes practice, it takes improvement. Every time I explain to someone what OT is or what I do, I got better and better at it. Every time I've met with a legislator, it's gotten better and better. So you have to practice and work towards continuous improvement, just like you do in your clinical work. And so part of number three kind of leads into number four, of taking advantage of opportunities and building relationships. Take advantage of the times that you have to interact with nurses, with physicians, with patients, to educate them on occupational therapy. And again, this doesn't have to be a 30-minute lecture. It can be as short as a couple of minutes. When I would communicate my plan of care to a physician, right, because in home health, many of the agencies required me to call in and get my own verbal orders, I wouldn't just tell them, hey, I need a verbal order from Mrs. Jones for twice a week for 3 weeks for OT. I would also explain what I'm doing with them. And in doing that, I am helping educate whoever has to listen to my message on what occupational therapy is. Because that triggers then in their mind an association, an experience of what OT is, because I've said, I need a verbal order for Mrs. Jones for 2 times a week for 3 weeks in order to address difficulty with dressing, getting to the bathroom, and help improve her safety at home. So next time maybe they have a patient who says, I'm having a really hard time getting to the bathroom, they might think of ordering OT. So that is a time where I took advantage of an educational opportunity and was able to educate a clinician, even though it wasn't a direct face-to-face interaction. I wasn't actually talking to a human being, but I took that simple act of something that I had to do for every patient every day and changed it into an opportunity to advocate for OT. So I want you to start pondering, what kind of opportunities do you have where you work to do those sorts of things? When you interact with nurses, case managers, PTs, speech therapists, patients, caregivers, what opportunities do you have at work where you can easily incorporate a little bit of advocacy? Or where are you already doing it? And then give yourself a pat on the back. And my last ask is that you consider how our actions impact future generations of occupational therapy providers and the future of healthcare. And this isn't to say that you can't have complaints. Like, trust me, I got complaints. I got plenty of them. There are things that I do not like. There are times where I was really frustrated as a provider. I've talked about that a little bit before, that, I mean, the entire reason I left clinical care was because of burnout, because I was angry every day, and it was no longer healthy for me to remain a clinician. So it's okay to have those legitimate frustrations, and you can complain about them to whoever you want to, but I also want you to think about what implications that has on people who are looking into occupational therapy, whether that be potential people applying to grad school, whether it be people about to graduate. It breaks my heart every time I see someone who hasn't even finished school posting whether or not occupational therapy was the right choice, because all they're seeing is so much negativity, which is part of why, again, we now have our OT Amplifiers Collective, is because it's going to be a positive community. We're going to focus on solutions, not just problems. If you're listening to this, if you talk to someone else, think about what your comments do to future generations, as well as to individuals who may be reading that, right? these Facebook groups, these Reddit pages are not private, no matter if they have a private label or not. There are patients that are in there. There are caregivers that are in there. There are non-clinicians. There are regulators. There are policymakers in those groups. And what you say matters in terms of how they interpret and how they understand occupational therapy. So this is me inviting you to take the opportunity to participate in changing the future of occupational therapy by no longer saying no one knows what OT is, and instead adopting a more positive and proactive approach to how we can empower ourselves and our profession to expand awareness of occupational therapy and our services. I want you to take the opportunity to educate yourself on the value of OT and what you do. Recognize your expertise, because you have a lot of it. It's a problem if I ask you, why should someone pay for your services, and you don't know the answer, right? You should know at the drop of a pin why what you do is important and why what you do is valuable. And then you can work on, once you understand that yourself, how to communicate that to other people in a way that is meaningful. And if this is something that's important to you, if you want to work on creating a more positive profession, a more optimistic profession, if you want to look into ways to build opportunities and not just build barriers, then I encourage you, if anything, to at least share this episode with a friend, but to also join our OT Amplifiers Collective. There, we can support each other and build each other up and identify solutions. We can acknowledge the problems, right? We can also acknowledge when things kind of suck. That's okay, right? I get upset about things all the time. That's a normal human emotion. But we also need to then look at where we can help make improvements, acknowledge what we can't change, and acknowledge what we can, and work together to make that difference. So again, links are in the show notes. We do have a free plan. If you want access to the information to really take these kind of steps to the next level, our full access plans are really the best bet. The ones that come with like the Mastering OT Policy and Medicare course, because that gives you the information that you need to know to help you feel more comfortable explaining what OT is and to communicate it in a way that makes sense to payers, to other providers, your boss, etc. So use the link in the show notes to join the OT Amplifier Collective, and don't hesitate to let me know what you think. I also have a link in the show notes with a phone number that you can call or text and leave me a message letting me know what you think about this episode or what responses you have, or if you have any follow-up questions. And if you leave me a voice memo and you give me permission, then I will use it as part of the podcast to help answer questions. So, and you can do that even if it's not related to this, but use the link in the show notes to go ahead and call me. And I don't pick up the phone, so you don't have to worry. Like, it's a phone number that I don't answer. So don't worry. Like, if you don't want to talk to me, it'll take you pretty much straight to voicemail. Thank you so much for being here. What do you think about saying no one knows what OT is? And what do you think we should say instead? What do you think we should do about it? All right, go out there and amplify occupational therapy, and I'll see you guys later.
Thank you so much for listening to the Amplify OT podcast. Hey, did you know that I have a free newsletter? Yes, that is correct. In addition to the free podcast, free articles, I also have a free newsletter, and you can subscribe using the link in the show notes. This way, you will never miss an update. If you love this podcast, I have two requests. First, please consider leaving us a 5-star review, and second, consider leaving a gift using the link in the show notes so that I can continue to support this podcast and provide this resource for free. Consider it a gift to your future self. And if you don't love the podcast, well, I hope you just have a fantastic day and forget I said anything about that review. Okay, folks, keep speaking out and speaking often, and I'll catch you next time.